Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at the first six verses together. Actually, before we read, let's play a little knock knock. Anybody like knock knock jokes? Anybody like those? Okay, let's try one. Okay, knock knock. Very good. You've got this down. This is good. Ach. Bless you. All right. Let's do another one. Okay. Knock, knock. Lettuce. Let us in and you'll find out. All right. Okay. All right. Here we go. Knock, knock. Woo. Don't get so excited. These are just knock, knock jokes. All right, I like this one a lot. Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Canoe. Can you come out and play? All right. This one made me smile the most, and this one actually even got Alexon's approval. Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Cows go.
Cows go.
No, they don't. Cows go moo. Did it work, Alexon? Okay, that one worked. All right. Knock, knock. You always, if you're going to have a knock, knock joke, if the person doesn't say who's there, it pretty much ruins the joke, doesn't it? I mean, not that they're great jokes anyway, but the first three chapters of Ephesians are the knock, knock. And you've got to ask as you start chapter 4, who's there? All right, so let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it's page 870. Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So God, through the Apostle Paul in chapters 1 through 3, has told us his story. Ephesians, the first three chapters, it's all God's story. What God has done in Christ in saving a people who were lost, in saving humanity, which is condemned to damnation. God has sent his Son, Jesus, and blessed us with every spiritual blessing, offers forgiveness, and has taken people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and has brought them together in his Son. That's God's story. Now, what Paul's doing now is saying, I've told you God's story, and all that I've asked of you up till now is that you listen. Actually, that you listen and believe. But now, I'm asking you to become part of the story. And I always wanted this as a child. Did you ever, when you watched TV or watched a movie, did you wish that you could just get into the screen and just become one of the characters in the show? Anyone ever do that? In my mind, it's like, oh, I would love to do this. I would love to be in this scene or in this story. What God is doing in these last three chapters of Ephesians is he's saying, come be a part of the story. Come be a part of the story. See, right now, I want you to walk worthy. He says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. This is what Paul says. I'm the prisoner for the Lord, or literally in the Lord. And I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Literally, it's to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Now, I hate to say it this way, but I want to say this. Enough about God, now it's about us. Enough about God, now it's about us. It's about us walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So our calling is what? Let's just take a look. If you think, remember back in the first three chapters, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is ours. Anything we could ever need, God says is yours. He has forgiven us every sin, not just the ones that you're aware of. But have you ever gone through the day and realized, oh man, I did that too. I didn't even know I had done that. Do you know that that's forgiven too? Every sin, every thought, every word, every deed in Christ is forgiven. We've been chosen in Christ. We've been adopted and we've been united with people from every different community. All those who trust in Christ, we're now one in Him. Are you feeling a little rich right now? Because you should be. Our calling is to be made alive in Christ. We were dead, and now we're alive. And just because you're breathing doesn't mean you're living. You're alive in Christ. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is our calling, to live blessed and forgiven, to live out this calling of being chosen and adopted as children of God, to be united with His other children, to be made alive in Christ, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Knock, knock. Well, let's see. What does God have in store for us? This is what He says. This is what I've done, God says. I've done all of this for you, but now I'm asking you, in Paul's words, urging, entreating. Some translations even say, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called. You ready? See, you and I are absolutely rich. We have everything we need to do what God's asking of us. Dr. Brené Brown is a sociologist who's having an incredible impact on my thinking about how we can live wholehearted lives. And she says that in our world right now, we have this attitude of scarcity, that we're not enough, that we don't have enough, we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we're not rich enough, we're not educated enough, we're not well-connected enough, we're not prepared enough, we're not, some of us, tall enough. You pick your enough. Every one of us, depending on what the situation is, can be covered in shame because we are just not enough. That whatever the situation demands, I'm just not a good enough husband. I'm not a good enough father. I'm not quick enough to respond when someone says something. But we are enough in Christ. We are enough. Probably 8 or 10 months ago, I wrote in the mosaics of this wrestler from Maryland, United States wrestler who beat a 17-time world champion in wrestling. And the woman was from Japan, and the U.S. wrestler beat her, and when she was interviewed on NBC after the Olympics, they said, how'd you do it? She said, well, my pastor got with me before I came down to Brazil, and he said, just keep remembering, Christ is in me. I am enough. Remember this? Christ is in me. I am enough. Can you say that with me? Christ is in me. I am enough. You're forgiven. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're adopted. You're united. You're made alive in Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are enough. You are enough. And that means when the Apostle Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of your calling, it's possible. It's possible. This is no longer about God. This is now about you, and it's about me. We are called to participate in God's story. And so he asks that we'd be humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. Why would he have to ask or command me to be completely humble and gentle? Okay, Kim's right. I need it. Why would he ask you to be completely humble and gentle? Because you need it too. You would think that as those saved by grace, those forgiven, those adopted in the family of God, proud would be the last thing we are. But we are. And you might remember this from Philippians. The Apostle Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interest, but for the interests of others. Have the same mindset as Christ. Humility is a mindset that I don't consider myself better than you, that I consider us equal as children of God, that I'm looking at you not down, but I'm looking at you at equal, if not higher. To be humble, to be completely humble and gentle. If humble is the attitude, gentleness is the action. This is also translated meekness. The idea is it's strength to be able to serve. I can have a humble mind and heart, but until my hands get involved, I'm not gentle. But see, it's not just power, it's the power to be controlled, to be able to serve, to meet a need. This last fall, Ani had to read Of Mice and Men by Steinbeck. Anybody ever read that? Oh, Lenny, poor Lenny. Big, strong Lenny. He loves soft things, but what does he do with soft things? He squeezes them because they're so soft, but Lenny is not gentle. He's not meek. If something gets in Lenny's hands, it usually dies. See, gentleness was not a quality that the Greeks held in high esteem. In fact, Christians took these words of humility and gentleness and made them virtues. Now, why on earth would Christians take humility and gentleness and make them virtues, make them qualities to aspire to? Why would we do that? Because our Lord was humble and gentle. See, if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, we need to lower our estimation of ourselves, if it's too high, especially relative to other people, and get our hands dirty in ways that serve others, that meet the needs of others. See, that's what it means to be worthy. It's not enough that you and I know Ephesians 1 through 3. That's God's story. It's fantastic. God is generous. God is awesome. He's amazing in his generosity. But that's God's story. God's story doesn't get communicated on planet Earth unless what? Unless we walk step by step in a manner worthy of that calling. Remember we said at the very beginning, where do we find God's presence on planet Earth today? You don't find it in Jerusalem. You don't find it on a mountain. You don't find it at Yosemite. You find his presence among his people. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We need to walk in a manner that's worthy of him. And that means we've got to be patient. Patient. And I've got to just break these words apart. I mean, to be patient is to put up with people who are aggravating. It's okay to be patient with a child. I mean, because they're just so adorable. And yes, they're loud, and yes, they don't listen, and yes, they run away, but they're adorable. Who doesn't want to be patient? Yeah, I know it, 2 a.m. It's hard to be patient with a baby. But really, it's a lot easier to be patient with a baby than it is. Okay, I'm not going to name names. It's easy to be patient with an adorable child. It's not so easy to be patient with someone who's aggravating. And some people just have a gift, don't they? They just have, and a couple weeks ago, my brother wasn't here, and so you might think I slandered him in his absence, but he had given me permission, so since he's here today, I'm going to go ahead and say it again. He had a gift. Paul had a gift, and you don't see the buttons on me right now, but Paul could, I mean, with his eyes closed, he could go, and then, I would explode. Yeah, and you know what? He also has, as I told you then, the gift of amnesia. Because he doesn't remember ever doing anything that would have set me off. Well, I need to tell you that I also have that gift. And you know what else? All of you have the gift of aggravation. For some more than others. And for all of us who have people that aggravate us, in the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. You've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. And you know, and it's not just with the people that make you crazy. It's also, he says, be patient, and then he says, bearing with one another. Now, this is just a mutual bearing with one another. That we just, it's mutual. And we do it in love. See, we've been loved. Remember, we're not in an existence of scarcity where we don't have enough. We have been loved by the living God. We are indwelt by God himself. The Holy Spirit lives within us. I have what it takes to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to put up with others with love, and so do you. Can you just say out loud, I have what it takes? And now say it as if you believe it. We have what it takes to walk in a manner worthy of our calling with which we've been called. See, he says we're supposed to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And then he pulls this one. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, it is going to demand everything that we've got. What the NIV translates as make every effort, the idea is to be eager, to give everything you've got now. It's about urgency. It's about timing. We have got to get in now. We don't get to say, you know, maybe in a couple weeks, maybe after the worship service, or maybe, you know, I get a couple days off at Thanksgiving. Maybe that's when I'll jump in, all in, everything I've got. No, it's right now. And you don't even have to be a cynic or be critical of even just our body, our expression of the body of Christ. We need everybody being all in to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel so that we can keep the unity that Christ has earned. Christ's death on the cross was not simply so you and I could be forgiven. It was to unite people who can't get along humanly and to make them one body so that for all eternity, Christ will be able to be glorified by people like you and I that actually love each other, that actually care about each other, And we put up with each other, not because, oh, okay, I got to put up with it, but because we're willing to love each other. There is no religion, there is no faith that even comes close to this. This is way beyond what any human imagination could ever create. The Almighty sending His Son to pay the debt that we owe, to save us so that human people, fallen human, rebellious human, selfish human beings could be made one. There is no explanation for that apart from the living God. Knock, knock. God is there. There is only one God, one body, one spirit, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. See, the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the unity of the Trinity, is a mystery. We cannot understand it. But we can see it when we are diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, when we give 100% to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says that he's a prisoner for the Lord, and the word he uses there for the bond of peace is like shackles. That's what it translates, to be bound by peace. You and I don't get the option of deciding who we'll connect with. We don't get the option of saying, yeah, but my preference is this, but I don't like this. This is out of my comfort zone. You know, this group of people, we sit together every week. This is the people I want to be with. Those people, they sit on the north side. See, these people speak Armenian, so we can worship with them. But you know, these people, they smell. You know, I was in Armenia 5 years ago, and I was in the church in Vanatsor, and the pastor sat the woman who was leading our team right next to a woman who was homeless, but she would come to church on Sunday mornings. And he sat Silva right next to her. And this woman stunk. Like you probably may have never smelled. She could be smelled rows in front and rows behind. And Silva sat down next to her and said, "Oh, man." And she just said, "Oh, Lord, take away my sense of smell. Do something, because I can't love this person if all I'm getting is smell." And in that moment, God took away her sense of smell. She was hugging this woman, holding hands with this woman, raising her arms in praise with this woman. And wouldn't you know it that this pastor did this? Afterwards, he said, "You can do anything you want to in our church. Your team can do anything you want to." I said, "Really, why?" "Because you sat next to Hanum Kaur, and her smell didn't bother you. You were willing to love someone who was absolutely repulsive. And now I know I can trust you." Silva walked in a manner worthy of the calling with which, would you agree? That's walking in a manner worthy of the calling. The person next to you doesn't stink. See, this is the difficulty. When we enter into God's story, it's got to be more than what we are. And, okay, that happened one day in Armenia, and It changed the church because there was tremendous ministry. But see, here's the thing. The difficulty of our walking in the calling with which we're called is it has to happen daily. See, I don't like the way the NIV translates it when it says live a life worthy, because living a life is up here. The word Paul uses is walking, and it means literally step by step. Step by step, daily. The hardest thing about the Christian life is not humbling ourselves to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. That's not easy. But the most difficult part of walking with Christ is it happens step by step by step. It's walking worthy. It's with humility and patience, taking a step, taking another step, taking another step, and it's putting up with each other. It's giving 100%, not just once, not just one day, not when we're rested, but when we're exhausted, when we haven't slept, when those adorable little children have kept us up all night, when our colleague at work really gets under our skin, when the Bodvilly, oh gosh, there he goes again. When the Bodvilly does this, you pick it. You pick it. It's daily, step by step. God invites us into his story. He says, come on in. And he's going to bring us together. And this unity that he has designed reflects him. I'm going to break it to you. Your life is not about you. You and I have been bought with a price. The sin, what God bore, as Bodvilly just preached, Christ bearing our sins, us receiving his salvation, means it's not about us anymore. And step by step by step by boring, frustrating step, we're called to be a part of God's story. And let me tell you something. If Silver were here, she would tell you, I saw her the next day. I saw her the next day, and I smelled her the next day. But you know what I did this time without asking God to remove my sense of smell? I went up and I hugged her. And I made her sit next to me. Humble yourselves before each other. Demonstrate gentleness before each other. Be patient with the person who's aggravating you. See, this is the love of Christ. We have it. So now let's share it with each other. It's no joke. It's not a knock-knock joke, but it needs our response. God has done so much. And now he says, come join me in the story, and it becomes our story. Amen. Please stand. Receive the benediction now. May the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, both now and into eternity, may he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. May he fill you with his Spirit so that Christ is seen truly in our midst and his story becomes ours. Yefimame der Jesus Christos ishnorka, horastus osera, yef surpok vuin harataksuchuna, mer amenun hedala. Amen.